This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on September 16, 2025 in East Earl, Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you. Glad to be back. If any of you have any experience speaking, you can't speak on a topic and finish up and not feel like, what did I miss? But you don't always have a second topic, so maybe we can fill in a little bit with what we might have missed in the first one. I'd like to begin with another story, and this involves my work with Anabaptist Financial. And I'm involved in the Business Workshops program, and I think Jason mentioned it earlier. We have six topics of business workshops, two-day classroom settings to teach on different things. And one of the six, we won't get into the other five, but one of the six is business planning. So we have a two-day workshop where you can come and soak a little more deeply in the topic of business planning. And so we get to know people. Last night I was thinking about over the last 5 years, I think we've had this workshop about 5 years, and I wanted to do the math, and I didn't have the numbers at my fingertips, but I wonder if we've had maybe 250 or 300 people go through this, just the business planning workshop over the last 5 or so years. Maybe wrong on that, but among them was an individual that I met, and we get to know people in the classrooms. We recognize some of you. We walked in here this morning and recognize somebody that we met at a business workshop. And we did such a poor job, he actually came back the second time. So we doubled up on meeting Dave over here. But this individual came, and this is about 3 years ago. He came to one of our workshops. I don't remember where, but I was there, and I met him, got to know him. And we developed a little friendship. But he said, oh, this is hard stuff. This thought of writing a business plan. He said, we're too busy, for one thing. We're too busy. He wasn't sure he really understood how, and we tried to teach it to him over the 2 days, and yeah, it's all good and everything, but, you know, he said, I don't know if I can go home and actually write a business plan. And we, in some of our travels one time, I traveled actually to a business seminar somewhere in another state, and we were actually passing by his business, and we stopped in to see him and to further our friendship. And my son Elliot was with me, and we were there, and we talked to him and his sons, and he has a woodworking shop, and they're just covered up. They're up to their eyeballs, as the saying goes, in work. And I'll just say, probably not as well organized on the office side of things. And he said, I just don't know if I'm going to get a business plan done. I appreciated all we learned. Came home inspired, we just can't get it done. And I went there and I observed his business realm of operations, and I just feel almost bad saying this, but I thought, you know, I think you're right. I don't think you're going to get it done. And like I said, that was about 3 years ago. It was probably about 2 years ago that we stopped by his place. And this spring in the month of April, and I know it's the month of April because he called me up out of the clear blue, and he said, and we talked about turkeys and turkey hunting, and my son and I were kind of into turkey hunting, so that was part of our conversation that day. And he said, the turkeys are gobbling like crazy. Every morning, he said, we can hear them from the shop. And he said, I'd like you to come out, bring Elliot, come out, and go turkey hunting. And so that's why I know it was in April. I know the timing. That's not really why I called. The reason he called is because of this. He said, I finally got it done. He said, it's taken me 3 years, but he said, I finally wrote a business plan for our business. And I wish I could tell you more about it and say, well, it was a good one, and it's transformed their business, and they're growing bigger, or they're growing smaller, or they're growing whichever way they feel like God is leading them to grow. But I haven't. I haven't followed up with all that. But I was inspired and I was encouraged with his testimony and his desire to let me know that I got it done. I got a business plan written. Well, I begin with that story because I want to say it's difficult to write a business plan. It's easy to think, oh, we've got some plans. But it's hard to actually say we have a written business plan that I could hand you and say, this is our plan for our business. It's difficult, it's hard work, and that's why we're talking about it here today. Developing a plan. Somehow I'm missing the slide that I thought I had here. I have a couple slides in my book that are not here. So I'm going to talk a little bit first. I'm going to share one more thing. I had a slide in the last presentation. I won't chase it down here, but I'm just going to read it to you and share it with you. And it's an important point as we get into talking about maybe a little bit more of the mechanics of building a business plan and the components of a business plan and so forth. And the slide says this. Remember, I gave a definition of what a business plan is. It's a written plan for your business. Now, what's so hard about that? That doesn't seem so hard on the surface, but this slide says, what is the business planning process? So a business plan is a document, and before we opened Family Food Store, and partly because I just had an inclination and an interest this direction, but I had a plan, 14 pages. There it is. I could have handed it to you. And we shared it in a little family meeting, and so we were all on the same page as far as our capital resources and the investment we were making and so forth. That's a business plan. But what is the process? And I said this in the last session, but I never shared this slide. I said the process that you go through is more important than the product. So that I keep referring to that 14-page business plan as if there's something magical about that, and there isn't. It's just 14 pages of paper that say something on them, and I could have written whatever I wanted to on them and said, here's my business plan. But my point is, they meant something to us. And as I prepared for this session, I looked back over that 14-page business plan from 2012. Why? Because I was reminded of the process that we went through as a family where we kind of, you might say, thrashed out. And I don't mean against each other, but we wrestled with the ideas that are contained there in the business plan. Ideas about how many days are we going to be open? How are we going to market? Who are we going to sell to? And so forth. So this slide says this. The process of business planning is a path of discovery involving business owners and others with interest in the future of the business. Sometimes in the business world, those are called stakeholders. Who are all the stakeholders? Who all is affected by our business? And they may need to have a voice in the planning process. But what I was wanting to get especially is this expression. The process of business planning is a path of discovery. What I mean by that is you don't know what the business plan is going to say before you write it. But the planning process brings it forth. Now, you may have ideas. You may have ideas. Somebody came up to me on the break here, and I'm not going to call anybody out and share what you shared, but he just said this. He said, I was into this idea, but my wife wasn't so much. And now we're into it and we're having a struggle. That's what I mean about a path of discovery. The business planning process is a tool or a vehicle, a path to help surface the right things as we plan together. Sometimes our business plan may end up at a different place than we thought it would be when we hear the multitude of counselors that have an interest in our business future, beginning with our own wives. And I don't mean to infer anything in that example that was shared there as far as whether they did the right thing or didn't or what his wife ought to do or not. I don't mean that. I just mean it's important that we view the business planning process as a way of uniting our minds together around where our business is going. And I'll say it again, what we said before, if you don't have it written down, if it's not committed to paper, you can't do it. You can't do that. You just can't. You can't get beyond this is my show. It's my way or the highway. I know what I'm doing here. And you need to fall in line, whether it's our wife or our children or employees, fall in line. And yet so often, and we forget how often, they don't really know what we're thinking. That's what a business plan does, is it commits to paper the path that we have agreed to for our business. Now, in our business planning workshops, we teach a model of business planning, and I'm going to share that with you here today, a model. And by a model, I mean kind of a structure and pieces and components, and I'm going to talk a little bit about each one. And in our business planning workshops, we even share then a case study and so a sample, a fictitious business, and what the business plan looks like. And you can take it home, or you could find it. We could probably provide it to you. Certainly, if you come to our workshops, we can. And we can help you write the document. But it's just a document. It's just a bunch of words. And that doesn't complete communication, does it, Dave? 7%. And I would apply that to the business plan. It might be worth 7% when the words are all written. But the process is what really, really matters. The process that we work through to arrive at where we're going. So I want to move on, and I want to share a few graphics, and there are kind of three shapes here encircled by a business plan. And we teach this in our business planning workshops. All I'm saying here is that a business plan actually includes three different pieces. And you don't have to do it exactly like we do it to have a good business plan, but I would venture to say that if you have a good business plan, it will contain these three pieces. And you can call them something else, but we call them our long-term strategy. And our long-term strategy involves that faraway look to the horizon. This is where we see our business going. That's our long-term strategy. For me, I said we're going to create a family farm experience for our family before our daughters leave the nest. And one of them was 16. And she left the nest at 19. We had a shorter window of opportunity than we even thought. But long-term strategy, it's the kinds of things that we plan 3 to 5 and maybe 10 years in the future. And we commit to our long-term strategy as well, our faith in God, by saying it, if the Lord will, we shall do this or do that. And then we have another piece of our business plan that involves our annual strategic plan. And so God has made the world, the universe, to roll around in an annual time frame. We understand that, 4 seasons. It's part of God's order, His cosmos. And so once a year, we commit to our activity for the year in our business in a particular way. We don't go into the business just saying, we don't go into the year just saying, in 3 to 5 years, we would like to be here or there. That's where we're going in the long run. But rather, we begin to carve off pieces and say, this year is going to be the year of... I don't know if any of you read those Matt Snyder articles, or Snyder, however you pronounce that, but my son got into them for a while and read them, and at least some of you will know what I'm talking about, and he's got maybe 20 by now. I don't know how many books, but a bunch of them. But one of them is called this, and he moved up to Alaska from Pennsylvania and so forth. One of them is called this, the year of much fishing. That's what strategic planning is. The annual strategic plan, it's saying, yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to do that in the long run, but this year we are actually going to focus on much fishing, or whatever the case might be. Then within that, there's another piece of our business plan, and it may look different in yours than mine, but there's going to be some component of an action plan. And that's where we begin to specify action, and we define goals and plans and who is responsible for what, and the mechanics of how we're going to carry out the year of much fishing. So the year of much fishing is going to unfold, and we want to accomplish much fishing, but the boat won't start. And so our action plan is going to involve getting the boat started. And who's responsible for that? Well, Joe, he's responsible for that. When? Well, he's going to have it done here by the end of September. That is what action planning involves. And every business plan that is effective is going to have some element of those three pieces. So that's the model we teach. And down here at the bottom, it says the process, and the word I want to focus on is cascades from the big picture to the details. It's a little bit like that illustration about filling a glass, you know, and filling it with rocks first and then pouring the sand in around it and then water. It's like you have to go in that order. It cascades in that way. You got to start with the big stuff and get it arranged and ordered first, and then it makes sense to pour sand in around the edges and then water. And that's what we mean by cascades is we can't plan effectively for the future if we don't have a good sense of what is our long-term strategy. And you will notice that I'm not telling you, we're not teaching what your strategy should be. We're here teaching the process of business planning. And we're going to touch on that here in a moment, but we're not really telling you what your strategy should be. So the second slide I want to share is those same three pieces organized in a little different way. And notice they're color-coded. So start in the left at the top, we've got our long-term strategy. We've got a 3 to 5 year focus. And the importance of this long-term strategy is that we research and we collaborate in the multitude of counselors, and we seek to establish a united vision. It makes me sad, and again, I'm not calling this out, but it makes me sad when I get in a situation and somebody says, yes, we've got a problem, we've got a business problem, but really we're not all on the same page. And maybe my wife wasn't quite there when we began a year ago or two or whatever it was. That's what I mean about establishing a united vision. And then our annual strategic plan obviously has an annual focus, the year of much fishing. And the key there is to plan each year in harmony with our long-term strategy. So if our long-term strategy, and in this absurd example that I've picked up and I'm using, if our long-term strategy was no more hunting and fishing, we have a conviction against it, then why would we make our annual strategic plan the year of much fishing? It doesn't fit. It doesn't mesh. And so we plan each year in harmony with what our long-term strategy is, and then our action plan is our kind of our through-the-year focus, and it is all about maintaining discipline for successful implementation. It is a way to help us every day when we show up for work make sure that the things that we're doing today actually have something to do with our long-term strategy. It's not just willy-nilly busy work. And notice the word I use here at the bottom. It's not cascades, but the process cycles through the course of time. And so as we fulfill our daily and weekly and quarterly plans and ideas and to-dos, we are in the process of fulfilling our strategic plan, and that fulfills our long-term strategy. And there's a cyclical nature to this business planning process. And again, your business plan may not look like ours necessarily, but that is the big picture of what a business plan does and is. And so if you have thought in the past that you've got a budget, you've got a financial budget, I want to say two things about it. I want to say that's good. I'm glad you've got a budget. We have an accounting workshop, and we talk about the importance of budgeting. And it is important, and I'm glad you've got one, and I hope it's real and meaningful and something you can communicate about. But the second thing I want to say is you still don't have a business plan. And I'm just speaking of a definition here. I'm just saying a budget is a piece of a business plan, but it's not a business plan because it involves none of this long-term strategy. That's the hard work of business planning. In fact, lest I forget it later, I want to say it now. When we get right down to the budgeting and we get right down to the actual specific plans that we have for our business, I remember I used to work with Merle Hur, and Merle used to say this. He said, we should get to the point where those plans, they just kind of write themselves. And I think he's exactly right. If we have done the hard work of considering our big picture, our 30,000 foot view, then the plans will kind of write themselves. Perhaps we're exaggerating that just a little bit, but not entirely. And so I want to move on to the next slide, and I just want to drill down into each of these components a little bit more. And again, your business plan may not be organized in the same way. You may not have the same table of contents, but I am proposing a set of components that belong in a business plan. And I have that long-term strategic outlook broken down three more ways. So I'm kind of drilling down into it in an outline form here, and I'll try to move through these fairly quickly. But the first one involves a definition of company culture. And that sounds kind of like, if you're not familiar with it and you don't use it, and maybe it's just not familiar, and maybe you don't even really like it. And maybe you don't like it because it feels corporate and big and highfalutin. And that's okay. You can call it something else. You can call it environment. You can call it the way we do things. You can call it whatever you want, but there is a way that we do things. There is an environment of our business that is the way we do things. And company culture is a way that we get at the way we do things. Why do we do what we do? And we've got it further broken down into, and you hear this from time to time, and these are the same kinds of ideas generically that you would hear in a secular business planning seminar, if you will. But you'll hear about the importance of our history. Where did we come from? How many times have we heard about a business that is struggling, and we may go in to help with the finances or with human conflict resolution, and yet we start getting a sense that these younger people in the business don't really have a feel for where this business came from and what its original mission really was and what the purpose of its existence really was. So it's important to know where we came from and why, and that's our history and our mission and our values. What do we hold dear? What defines the way that we communicate with each other? And please don't think that you don't have a culture in your company. And it's our job to identify what it is and to think about changing it, to think about what would be more right. Now, I want to give an example from Dave's talk. Dave talked about listening, and I didn't understand all the details. But he talked about listening to a group of businessmen in the other room, and they were going at each other, and he felt like they were tearing each other up. And they said, "Oh, that's the way we do things. That's what it takes for us to make a decision." Well, that represents culture, the way we do things, and it's important to think about the environment of our business and the way we do things. What are our values? What are our values? And there's a scripture that I always think of, and I'm just going to mention it here as I think about culture. And you think about the workplace and workplaces you've been in, and even Dave's story here. And it's the scripture in Ephesians 4 that reads like this: "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." But Paul's saying, don't let that be a part of your culture. And I know he may primarily be speaking toward church life, and we're speaking in the context of business, but we don't want the two to get too far apart. And so our culture matters. He goes on then and says, of course, "And be ye kind one toward another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I heard Dave say something else. I hope he doesn't mind me referring back to his talk, but he said something else. He said, "As I'm getting older," he said, "I think I'm getting more empathy. I think I'm getting just a little bit more feeling for the feelings of others." be kind. That's part of a changing culture. I don't know what all that means at Seven Oaks Landscaping, but I know this. I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good. I think it'll be a change of culture that's good and helpful and valuable. Well, we're going to need to move quickly. That's one aspect of long-term strategy, company culture, and working with it. And we have a responsibility of as leaders of our company to think about changing our culture for the good, for the better, as we grow and mature. And there's a lot could be said there, and we'll just go brief with it. Not that we have all the answers. The second area we want to talk about is market strategy. And again, you may not like the term. I don't know. I don't know how this rests on all of you. But the principle is what matters. And this is the terminology that we use. And market strategy involves economic analysis, market analysis, and some analysis of our own particular niche. Remember I said we don't do raisin cream pies. Well, I want to tell you a story in a bigger way, a bigger story about our business. It involves business planning, and I look back and I thank the Lord for his guidance even when I wasn't planning. But we, like a lot of other Anabaptist people, and you may not be this way, but some of you may identify with this. We like to buy good things kind of cheap. And there's been a surge in my lifetime, and maybe you understand this better than I do back in this part of the world, but there's been a surge of these bent and dent or ding and dent type stores. So salvage goods, salvage groceries, and it is so much fun, sometimes, some of them more than others, but to walk in there and buy something that was worth a dollar for maybe 5 cents. It just makes us feel good. We walk out, and sometimes we even find something worth $100, and we buy it for maybe $5. And so we had this totally misguided, foolish idea, our family. We thought, well, we like those stores, and so we would like to do that. So we were planning Family Food Store, and we were planning that we're going to do, we want to have a bakery, and we want to have a deli, and of course we want you know, a good deli and a good bakery and a good reputation, and we want to sell it all at a premium price, but then the other half of our store, we want to do this ding and dent grocery thing. And we were oblivious to basic principles of market strategy. And what I mean is this. Well, first of all, I want to say we tried to source some of those banana boxes. Some of you know what that means, and if you don't, it doesn't matter. But we tried to source some banana boxes, and they said, well, you're out there in what we call a freight vacuum, and you'll never be able to afford shipping banana boxes out to Sawyer, Kansas. And we thought, well, I guess we'll have to wait on that. So let's get started with the bakery and the deli and kind of our little boutique grocery, and we'll wait on those banana boxes. But we hadn't even given up on the idea. We're so oblivious. Well, here's what we were oblivious to. And it seems so obvious now that it's funny. I can laugh at it now. But the kinds of people that patronize ding and dent grocery stores are not actually the same kind of people that we wanted to attract to our premium bakery. And they're not even the same people. And there's nothing wrong with either one. But it would have been foolish for us to try to attract. It was just complete obliviousness regarding market strategy. So market strategy is figuring out in the broad marketplace what opportunity exists to serve customers and where we intend to serve them, where we intend to meet them at in the marketplace. And I'll just say, and I don't mean to be too light about it, but it was foolish of us, but we have truly thanked the Lord again and again and again for somehow keeping us away from the ding and dent grocery idea. Now, we don't think it's a bad idea. If you're managing a business like that, that's great. That's fine. I'd like to patronize it. And furthermore, we wouldn't be above starting a store like that, but not at Family Food Store. That was not the set of customers. Another thing I figured out is we've got to give up this idea that we're here to serve. And this seems kind of silly because out where we're at, there aren't very many plain people. But we didn't intend to draw our Plain Community people to our store. Now, they came to patronize us and to smile and to wish us well, and they cared and so forth, but they don't buy the kind of food that we were selling. They can make sandwiches at home, but people would come from the city, and they would love what we had. They would love to experience what we did. And somehow they thought it was tastier because we made it. Gets back to that Amish cheese idea. You just remember, embrace it. It was what it was. We didn't try to exploit it, but it was real. And they thought it tasted better just because. Okay, market strategy. There's more that could be said. I'm going to move on beyond that. Business framework, ownership plan. Who's going to own your business in the future? I've always heard this saying, it's more important to plan how you're going to get out of business than how you're going to get in. And I thought, yeah, I know it's true, but this is just a little business that we have, and it's a little family business. Surely we don't really need an ownership plan, and yet we got on down the road, and our first daughter got married and went to Pennsylvania, and another daughter got married and went to Ohio, and another one got married and went to Ohio, and I just started thinking, what are we going to do with this business? It's growing. It wants to grow. And we can't keep up with it, and what are we going to do? And I realized that we hadn't put much thought into the continuation of our business in the future. That's what ownership planning is all about. Who's a candidate to own this business in the future? And are you doing what you need to do to prepare a path for their eventual ownership? And I think we're just going to stop with that. We're just talking about these long-term strategy components. Financial overview is something that I'm not talking about your budget there. I'm talking about, are you committed to not going into debt? And we thought we were, and we actually wrote it in our business plan. And we made an exception for the property, but we weren't going to finance anything else. And anyway, I'm not saying that's right for you necessarily. I'm just saying we wrote that into this business framework part of our plan. There's some other. We've covered this ground here in the graphic, so I'm skipping over these. This is a little bit more about our store. We're about out of time. All I'm going to say is we defined five different segments of people that came to our store, and that's still part of that same thought of market analysis. Who are your customers? Who are they? And developing intimate knowledge of who they are, and then how to best serve them with products and services and how to best market to them and so forth. That's what that's all about. The annual strategic plan, I'm going to have to be very brief. This is, I could have titled this the year of much fishing. I've kind of picked up on that and in the mood to go fishing again, and so I'll continue that theme. That's what the annual strategic plan is. It's where we say this is going to be the year of much, much what? What is the theme of our year? Is it growth? Is it growth of the top line or growth of the bottom line? Or is it growth of our people? Or is it a reestablishment upon biblical principles if we've strayed? Or what is the theme of our year? And that's the essence of an annual strategic plan, is what are we going to choose to place our focus upon for the year? That's really what an annual strategic plan is. And I want to say it once again that business planning is not always about growing bigger. Sometimes it's about growing better. And what does that mean? Well, you tell me. You tell me in your business plan. That's what a business plan is for, is to say what we intend to do, if the Lord will. Document our annual plans. There are five, we call them sometimes five functional areas of business. So however big your business is or however small it is, you've got these five things going on all the time. You've got people. Sometimes we call that HR, human resources. I like the term people better because that's what we are. We've got people. And we've got finance. We've got money swirling around, passing through our fingers. And we need to write a plan about how we're going to manage it. And we call that a budget. And we generate profit and loss statements. And we compare our budget to actual. And are we staying on budget or are we not? That's all in the realm of documenting our actual annual plans, operations, our products and our services, our facility. Is it time to build that new front porch or not? That's all in the realm of our operational planning, our marketing planning. We reached a point where we couldn't sustain any more growth. We were so crowded with the human resources that we had that we didn't want any more growth. And so our marketing shifted. It just changed. It necessarily changed. Our annual plans around marketing changed, and sales, we're not going to have the time to get into that any further. Sharing the plan, I just want to emphasize how important it is as business leaders, in my case as a father, how important it is that we share the plan. And we have failed so many times, we'd be able to tell stories that would make us look really, really silly about the ways we failed to communicate what we were actually trying to accomplish and what we intended to do and what we were feeling even about our own business. But we tried to do better, and we failed to do so on a quarterly basis, but we actually tried to sit down with our family every quarter and review our business plan and review our annual plan and even talk about budgeting somewhat, although that didn't go all that well. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about numbers, but we did talk about what's working here and what's not, and what's the pain point of this daughter and that daughter and so forth. Our whole business model revolved around our daughters through that season of life, and that's why we began it, and that's why we concluded our business operations. SWOT analysis. I would offer a SWOT analysis, and these slides are here for your reference. We won't have time to go through them, but a SWOT analysis is simply a tool. It's a tool to help us assess our situation. Where are we at? And I would just say a SWOT analysis gets better and better with a multitude of counselors. It's not a solo effort. It's something we do when we get a group of people together and we say, what's strong about our business? And that's not an act of vanity. It's just a cold hard assessment of what do we have that is strong. It may be our market. It may be the loyalty of our customers. It may be the deliciousness of our pies. What is strong? And then what is weak? And what do we see as opportunities? And what do we see as threats? One of the opportunities we explored one time is we live 3 miles away from our store. And we used to talk about, well, should we do something in retail that would draw our customers down to our store? So do like a quarterly on-farm something or another. Well, that's an example of an opportunity, and we explored that and rolled it around, and we always ended up in our plan saying no. But it's an opportunity. That's part of what a SWOT analysis is all about, is exploring ideas. What if we would do this? And what if we would do that? And we all have so many of those things going on in our hearts and minds anyway that a SWOT analysis is a way to simply begin capturing them all. We're running out of time, and so I'm going to move quickly here toward the end. The action plan. I was wanting to conclude with a story. We got about a minute left, so maybe I just will. Another story about somebody that attended one of our business planning workshops, and I talked to him probably a month ago. And he called actually because he had a desire to bring one of our business planning workshops into his business. He was from another state. We don't hold him in that state. And so he was wanting us to have one there for his business and his sons and a few adjoining businesses there in their community. And I said, well, at the present time, we're not doing that. We put that idea on hold as a strategy for Anabaptist Financial, even for given the resources we have and instruction and so forth. So this is what he said. He said, I thoroughly enjoyed the business planning workshop, and he said, I didn't understand it all, but he said, I came home, and I've been studying it at home, but he said, I worry that it's too late for my sons. He said, I wanted you to come and have a business planning workshop in my business here so that my sons would be willing to go through it with me, but he said, I don't think I can get them to go to a business planning workshop there, wherever there is in our schedule. So that's kind of a down note to begin on, but I I end on that note simply because we have power of influence in our businesses. And God help us to be better leaders, even in our family groups and our business groups, to lead us toward that which we believe God wants us to do in business, and to use the tool of a business plan in doing so. That's all I have, and thank you.